Hello, everyone, and welcome to Secret Keepers Club. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. So happy to have you here. As always, my name is Carly Aquilino. I'm your host. We got a bunch of emails that you guys sent in to secretkeepersclub@gmail.com that we're going to get to. Bunch of things I want to chit chat with my girls about. Hope everybody had a great week. Great week ahead. Hope everyone had a nice weekend. Better weekend than me, because I had to get a tetanus shot. Because I stabbed myself in the ass with a dart on Friday night. Hey. I don't know how it happened. Well, actually, I do. I threw the dart at the dartboard and it looked like it was in the bullseye. And I was like, woohoo, I'm celebrating. And then I walk up to the board and I realize it wasn't in the bullseye. And so I grabbed the dart out of the board and I went, damn it. And I put my arms down up to my side and the sharp, you know, the sharp edge of the dart happened to be in my fist. And it was fully in my ass. It was fully in my ass cheek. So I stabbed myself in the ass. And when it happened, I had said, oh my God, like, girl, do you know how big a dart needle is? I mean, come on. Do you know how painful that was? My sister in Christ, it hurt. So I said to my friend, oh my God, that just went in my butt. And she's like, you're going to have to go get a tetanus shot. And I was like, no, whatever. And then the next day I woke up and I had a bruise and you could see like the hole, not me having a butthole. So I was like, oh my God. And I realized that I don't know the last time I ever had a tetanus shot. I'm sure I had one when I was a child, but as an adult woman, I don't recall ever having one. So, you know, it's better to be safe than sorry. So I went over to the CVS and the girl behind the counter gave me a freaking tetanus shot. I don't know. I had no idea that they even did those in there. I'm like, this doesn't seem sanitary, you know, just getting a shot in front of the post-its and the pens and the paper, not the office supply section where someone's giving me an injection. What can I do? You know, but hey, that's good. And it was free, I think, which is kind of crazy. I didn't want to like sit in an urgent care. I didn't want to do any of that. And then shout out to Diane. Diane said she got one at CVS. So I said, okay. And it actually makes sense. They had me in the system because I remember when I got my, I don't know if it was my original COVID vaccine or what, maybe it was the booster. I had to go to it. I had to get it done at Target. Girl, not me going to Target for a medical reason. I mean, what are we doing here? So it was at the CVS at a Target. I ended up spending like $100 just going to get my vaccine. Cause you know me, I'll party in there. I'm drinking iced coffee. My big cup, my 42 ounce stainless steel water bottle is in my bedroom. I don't feel like going to get it. That's one thing I miss about being in a relationship. Just going, hey, can you grab that for me? Hey, can you get that for me, please? Thanks. God, that would be great. I got to train Stanley to do that. We have this, Stanley's this like very, I swear he's listening because him and I have conversations. I know I sound crazy. Okay. I know I sound crazy, but my mom, when she was here, she was like, you guys are like besties. Like you're talking to him and he responds. And when I talk, he looks at me and he like nods and then he'll go, meow. Girl, it's so crazy. It's so crazy. You know how they say like the FBI watches us through our phone or our computer or cameras, whatever. They're probably like, this girl is nuts. Why is she chit-chatting with a furry friend all day? I don't know. But anyway, I tell him all the time. I'm like, you've never worked a day in your life. You're a freeloader. When he brings me a toy, I go, oh, that's mine. Cause I paid for it with my money. You don't have a job. I love it. What else did my mom say? Oh my God. When she was here, she was like, she said something that blew my mind. She goes, you know, it's amazing that when you were young, you know, you weren't really a singer, but now you just like, you're a great singer and you love to sing. I'm like, what are you talking about? I literally never sing. I don't know what you're talking about. And she goes, no, you're a great singer. You sing all the time. And in my head, I'm like, is there a gas leak at her house? Because I swear to God, sometimes she says shit that I'm like, I never experienced that in my life. But she swears by it. And she goes, no, you sing all the time on the podcast and you sound so great. I'm like, what? I said, Ma, I wasn't being serious. And I made a note in my head. I'm like, I meant to tell you guys, because I'm like, if you think I'm being serious, sing it. I'm so sorry. That's a prank. That's a joke. I'm not really doing all that. But she just cracked me the hell up. What else? Oh, guys, really important news here. There's a new inductee to my top five, and I can't control it. And I don't know who I'm bumping, but someone's got to go, because I know who my number one soulmate on this planet is. Okay. And you guys know my top five, my top five dream husbands, celebrity edition. Can't just be some regular guy down the street. You know who it is. Stone Cold Steve Austin. God, I love him. Girl, I love him. Do you want to know what? He's such a man. I watch his Instagram. I'm enamored with him. When he posts something new, I text it to my friend. I go, new SCSA just dropped. Stone Cold Steve Austin. He has a bunch of animals. He has a farm. He has like a ranch. And he has a bunch of animals. And he's always like, I'm out here shoveling horse shit and these horses. But, you know, I'm just like, I love him. I'm sorry, but I do. So I wrote in my phone, I said, he's being inducted to the top five. Now, I don't know who I got to get rid of for that. It's got to be Jeremy Allen White. I'm sorry. I hate to see it, but I hate to see you go, but no. Stone Cold is my absolute number one. I would bump anyone off the list. And that's a bold statement. I would bump anybody off my list for that man. I just love him. His hands are like baseball mitts and he's always wearing camouflage and he has a pickup truck. Where the hell do I find one of those guys? Probably not here, right? Definitely not where I live or anywhere in the area, anywhere nearby. But I just love that guy. God, I love him. What else did I do this weekend? Nothing crazy. Nothing super crazy. I can't wait for it to be summer, you guys. I know I say this every week, but like I don't even want it to be just hot. I want it to be sweltering humidity. I want to be uncomfortable and boiling hot. I'm sorry, but there's nothing like it. We get like, and I know people hate humidity. I love humidity. Are you crazy? If you hate humidity, are you crazy? Because it's the best my skin ever looks. My hair gets a little funky and crazy, but what are you going to do? It's kind of part of the vibe. You got a little glow to you because you're sweating all the time. God, I love it. Can't wait. Okay, guys, just a quick word from our friends this week. Secret Keepers Club is brought to you by Pretty Litter. When I have finally taken the time to spring clean my house, I don't want my cat kicking around litter and making it smell awful. That is why I use Pretty Litter. It constantly, traps odor, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to a month. The best part about Pretty Litter is the color-changing crystals. Each color correlates to a potential illness in my cats, like a UTI or a kidney issue. If I see a little color, I should know that it's time to head to the vet. So this is like a genius invention. I know I've said this a million times, but it really is helpful. There's been so many times that I'm wondering are they peeing too much? Are they not peeing enough? What's going on? Does this one have a UTI? Does this one? Cause that's like common in cats and they're so resilient. They never really express how they're feeling until they're really, really in pain. So Pretty Litter kind of just gives me like just a sense of comfort that if something's wrong, we could take care of it and take them to the vet and it's great. So I love that. I love the color changing crystals and it is, and girl, I'm not lying. It is pretty. The litter is pretty. It looks like beautiful it sounds like I'm being dramatic, but it looks like pink Himalayan sea salt. It's gorgeous. Okay. It looks like crystals on a nice beach or something. So it is very pretty. They named it perfectly. This is by far the best litter that I've ever used. Pretty Litter is amazing. You have to try it. You could go to prettylitter.com/secret. to save 20% off your first order and get a free cat toy. That's prettylitter.com/secret for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. prettylitter.com/secret. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Okay, you guys, we have Oak Essentials. Skincare is the Wild West right now. Stop getting swindled by neon green face oils and stick to what actually works with Oak Essentials. They make foundational skincare staples and high quality ingredients that drive results. You'll get that luxurious dewy glow just in time for summer with products like their Moisture Rich Balm, their Ritual Oil, Cleansing Balm, and Balancing Mist. You'll never have to try another skincare brand again. I love my Oak Essentials stuff. The other night, this is like TMI, but the other night I was going out and I was wearing capri pants. Don't judge me. And girl, I realized that my legs weren't shaved. So I was like, oh, I'm just going to shave from the knee down. Okay. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. And I just did like a quick thing. And I'm like, let me use this Moisture Rich Balm. Girl, it was so luxurious. I felt so smooth. I went out and I met up with my friend. I said, girl, feel my leg. Feel my leg. It's so smooth. Okay. I love this stuff. And it's nice and fresh, nice and clean. You don't feel like this film on you. It's not really oily or greasy or anything like that. It's the formula is really, really beautiful. And it's the fragrance is not overpowering. It's just very nice and fresh. Their bestseller is the Moisture Rich Balm. And for good reason, it supports collagen production and has amazing ingredients like sea buckthorn fruit oil, organic cocoa seed butter, and organic coconut oil that all work to lock in moisture and slow down the aging process. We love to see it. Treat yourself or someone else. The girlies will get 15% off plus a free organic honey-based restorative mask with their first order when they use code SECRET15 at checkout. That's 15% off. Plus a gift with your first order at OAKESSENTIALS.com. Promo code SECRET15. Go ahead and treat yourself from luxurious skincare to meaningful self-care. You deserve it. Let's get to some of these emails before I get so sidetracked and start just yapping and yapping away. Because you guys know that's my thing. Okay. This one says Maid of Honor debacle. Okay. It's loading. Hold on. Wow. I got a lot of pictures I see there of cats. Okay. Hi, Carly and the furry babies. I have written in before, but I'm hoping that you might be able to help me again. I could go on and on and on about how much I love you, but I won't. Hee hee. Oh, thank you so much. I love you too. This is a cute little emoji. I'm getting married later this year and I cannot be more excited about it. My fiance and I are basically acting like a married couple now. We've been together for about 3 years, living together. We've adopted 3 beautiful kittens, and we're ready for the next step in life. He adores me and makes sure to cherish me in every way that he can. Side note, ladies, don't ever settle. Just trust me. I believe you. I'm trusting you wholeheartedly. I'm writing in because my sister is my maid of honor and I'm really struggling with her. She's always been the quote unquote good daughter. We were both well-behaved, but she got better grades than me and was just an easier time, at least from my perspective. But she is chronically single and I definitely feel some type of resentment from her. This started since I started dating my fiance. To me, it feels like she feels that things are shifting and our parents see her in a different way. I'm going to most likely be the first one with grandbabies and if she continues on that path that she's on, she may never date or get married. And for some reason, that would make her less valuable, in parentheses. And seriously, this is just my perspective. It's hard to tell with her. Seriously, she has never even tried to date anyone. She's had a couple of quote unquote bad experiences in high school and she's ruminating on them. Okay. And then there is a part that, she wrote just for me. Okay. She acts super cold towards me and him definitely very often. She also gets really upset when I told her that we wanted to do a joint bachelor/bachelorette trip. Normally she would be really enthusiastic about planning shit like that. But for mine, she's been really quiet about it or just acts like she doesn't care as much. Many of my friends are married now and have kids, so it just felt right to invite everyone and their partners. We had a discussion and her feeling left out with all of the couples, and the compromise was to have a designated girl-only and boy-only activities and also some with everyone. That way she didn't feel alone for not having a partner. By the way, she's not the only single person in the wedding party, so she would not be alone in this, and I've told her that many times. Recently, I was talking on the phone with her and my fiance was in the room. She lives out of town, so we try to catch up at least once a week. Sometimes my boo thing is here and sometimes he's not. She was telling him a story about work that I had heard before. I was meal prepping at the time and I tuned her out a little bit. She tends to ramble on and on. My fiance asked a follow-up question and she talked over top of him. He let her continue and then she noticed none of us were saying anything. So she asked if we were listening. My fiance tried to respond, but she was already really mad and hung up on us. I coached my fiance and said, okay, let's try and be the bigger person here. I made him call her to apologize. What, girl? I also said that I had heard the story before, so I was not paying super close attention and I apologized as well. She was still being a snot about it and she didn't want to talk anymore. It's been a couple of weeks and she has moved on and been normal with me, but she's still cold with my fiance. It's been a couple of weeks since, but I still can't let it slide. I need to say something. And I think my next plan of attack will be to talk to my mom, LOL, how lame, because they are very close, and then hopefully talk to her. I wanted to reach out to see what you had to say first. Please enjoy some pictures of my cat and my fiance. Oh, let me see the pictures. Stop. What a cutie crew. Oh my God. These cats are beautiful. You guys are so cute. Oh my God. She has an orange cat. You know what that means. Stop. Wow. This one's this gray one. It's like Robert, but gray. Okay. So if it were me, I would stop. Since this is your, I understand and you seem really, really sweet and kind and you're being very generous, but you know, this is your one day and this is your, you know, one wedding and your one bachelorette party and whatever way that you want to do it, you should do it. And I think you're being too accommodating to somebody that's not giving you the same respect in return. So I really like, girl, you just are so nice. I could just tell that you're so nice because if that were me and she hung up on me and my husband or me and my fiance, I would not reach back out to her. I especially wouldn't apologize to her because she was the one that was being rude. He tried to ask her question. She interrupted him. Then she's like, you're not listening to me, and hung up. It feels like she has a lot of things that she's harboring that she's not dealing with. And it's just like so many other things in life. It's not your problem because you can't fix these things. You just can't. She needs to deal with it. Like if I were you, I would say something to her. Hey, it really hurt my feelings the way that you acted. I felt like we apologized and you, which was like, you shouldn't have even done that, but I know that you're nice and you did. But I would say something to her and be like, this really hurt me. And I feel like maybe ask her, like, is there anything that happened or do you feel a certain type of way? Because I feel like my wedding and the things revolving around my wedding are supposed to be a really special and happy time for me. And I would hope as my sister that you would feel the same way. And I'm not really feeling that from you. And it really hurts me. That's what you should do. This is how you made me feel. And this is why, you know, and then ask her, is there something that happened or is there something going on that you want to talk to me about? Cause maybe we can work through it together. But I would not have changed the plans for the bachelorette party and bachelor party for her. And I wouldn't have called her at this point. Sometimes people behave the way that they do because they can. Like they know they could get away with it. They know they'll get attention. They know that somebody will feel bad for them. It's like there's certain people, I know people like this too, where it's like they don't care if they're getting positive or negative attention. They just want attention. And they'll get it any way they can. So I would stop catering to that type of behavior because it's immature, it's childish. And again, no matter how much you apologize, she's going to keep doing it. And no matter how much you tiptoe around her, she's going to find something that upsets her. And it's just not your fucking problem. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your wedding. Plan the way that you and your husband want to plan because this isn't his problem either. I feel like I'm being harsh, but it's like, she's got to figure it out. And it does suck anytime, like whether it's a friend, a family member, anyone in your life, if you feel like there's like a weirdness there, a jealousy there, it definitely is really hurtful. Cause it's like, I love you unconditionally. And I feel like you're not giving me the same in return. And that's just sucks, you know? keep me posted on that. But I think it's absolutely imperative that you speak to her. Okay, this one says, dumped for God. Uh-oh. Hi, Cutie Carly and the handsome boys. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for creating the space for the girlies. And I love this community so much. Oh, well, thank you so much. And thanks for tuning in. Okay, so I started talking to this guy, in parentheses, I have known him for years and we flirted, but it hasn't really gone anywhere until now. He seemed gaga over me. I'm talking constantly, asking for selfies, telling me that I'm perfect, etc. We met up last week and he was so sweet and he even got my favorite ice cream and we watched a movie and cuddled. And long story short, anytime I read long story short, I know what the next two words are going to be. Just statistically on this podcast, and you know what they are too. Long story short, we banged. There you have it. Immediately after, I felt an energy switch and I thought maybe that's just in my head. The following week, he barely texted me. And when I asked what the problem was, he was like, what problem? Of course. Men have no balls. It's so embarrassing. I said, you barely text me anymore. And he said that he was busy. And I said, okay. And then he kind of got defensive, saying, why does he have to explain what he's doing and why he can't message me? I told him that he doesn't have to explain anything. I just expect consistency. Anyway, we got over that small argument and kept texting, in parentheses, still not as much as we were before. He wasn't acting gaga anymore. And he asked to hang out on Thursday. Wednesday morning comes around and he texts me and says, hey, I've had a change of heart. I don't want to do this anymore. I need to find God. She goes, what? I knew that he was religious. Literally, he has Jesus all over his apartment and a painting of him on the cross right above his bed. Oh God, no. And you banged him? That's a lot of, not above the bed. She says, but I feel like he's just using it as an excuse. I think he was sweet and attentive until he got what he wanted. And now he's out. I immediately blocked him on everything because Carly, what the fuck was that? I can't help but feel so rejected. Do you think he was being honest? Does it even matter? How do I get over this? Sorry, this was so long. I appreciate any insight that you have. Kiss ya and the furry babies right on the lips. Aw. Girl, you know what? Men will really dance around anything. They'll really dance around having a serious conversation and they'll say whatever to absolve them of having to have any responsibility for the way that they made you feel. It's just the way that it is sometimes when they're, and I'm not saying, I mean, this guy sounds fucking crazy if he has a bunch of crosses all over his house, and no offense, but like, if you were that religious, why are you now all of a sudden switching it up? Like, you were religious before, you're not religious. Like, what are we doing? But I think he spared you. And you want to know what? Sometimes it's like these people will always weed themselves out. Whether this was the real thing, if he really wants to find God or whatever, or not, you know, it's just like he spared you. And it's not anything like, oh my God, I need to, you know, find a way to get over this. It's like, no, these people weed themselves out. That's why it's like, there's nothing wrong with, you know, if you feel like it's natural, if you feel attracted to somebody and you hook up with them, you know, there's always this risk of maybe he's going to check out. Maybe this is all he wanted. Oh my God. And we have this way, especially as women, we feel always like, oh, is he going to judge me that we just did that? He did it too. So if he does, then bye-bye. It's okay. Sayonara. You know, don't beat yourself up over it. It was, if that was all he wanted, it was inevitable that this was going to happen. So, you know, it sucks. It's a shitty feeling. I get what you're saying where it's like, oh, it just feels icky. I get it. But that is one of the best. Hey, I've had a change of heart. I don't want to do this anymore. I need to find God. Huh? I would say I saw him hanging all over your apartment on the cross and that didn't stop you. Cause you were in a place that, you know, you know where you were looking for God last Wednesday, you know? It's so unfair too when people give you an excuse that you just can't rebuttal. You know, you can't say anything to it. Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah, I would have been, listen, and I don't mind if people were religious, of course, but the crucifix is all over the apartment. It's kind of giving, it's a lot for a young single guy. I don't know. I've personally never experienced that. You know, they do have some strange things on the walls, though. Every apartment you go into that's man's, if they have anything on the wall. But, you know, it'll be like those skyline pictures that you get at the Home Goods or TJ Maxx or something. It's like a skyline of some random city. That's a popular one. There was a guy, I went to his house, and this was years ago, and he had like a, it was like a flag with like a rapper on it. And I was like, oh, who is that? And he was like, it's this rapper. And I was like, oh, I've never heard of him. He's like, no, like he's my friend. I was like, what? And he was like, no, that's my boy. Like, I was like, your friend that's a rapper, you made a flag with his face on it and you hung it up in your fucking living room? And you don't think that? And he was like, what? Girl, they really don't know. So I've seen worse than the crosses, but jeez Louise. Okay, this one says, help. My sister said that my boyfriend is the scrub that TLC wrote about, and I can't get it out of my head. Uh-oh, that's a good song. Do you guys remember those things? And every time I hear No Scrubs, it reminds me of that. You guys remember those little keychains that we had when we were little kids? This is like the 90s. Some of us were little kids. I would say like early 90s. They were these little tiny keychains. It was a square box and it had some, you know, a musician on it, whether it was like a group like TLC or Destiny's Child or Britney Spears or, and it had a little button on the side and you could play a little tiny piece of the song. What were those? I want one. Anyway, mine was No Scrubs. And I was like six. I was like, and I don't want No Scrubs. And I honestly still feel the same way. But that was my little keychain that I think you could like play it backwards. You could play it forwards. You could play the chorus. It was so silly. But God, things like that, a kid now would probably go, what is this? This is so stupid. But that was like everything to me. Okay. So she says, hi, Carly and the kitty cats. I'm a longtime fan and truly enjoy listening to the podcast every Monday. Oh, thanks so much. It's the highlight of my day. So I'm going to sum this up as best as I can. My boyfriend and I met over a year and a half ago when I was in my hoe phase, in parentheses, no shame on it. And I was going out damn near every night. He works in nightlife/entertainment and he's also a comedian. Oh, Jesus Christ, girl. Respectfully send me your prayers. Oh, I will. I'll send you a Hail Mary for that. I loved it. I loved it at the time because I was 25 years old and freshly single after two back-to-back toxic long-term relationships. And I love to drink and party, but that's no longer the case, at least for me. I was going through a dark time when I met him. So going out was an outlet for me. Thanks to therapy, I feel a lot better and don't feel the need to go out and drink. However, my boyfriend loves it. It sucks because I know he's in the industry and I should be supportive, but I truly cannot support it if I see no benefit. My boyfriend is now 35 years old and he doesn't seem to have anything in his life put together. I'm trying not to judge him because life is tough and inflation is kicking everyone's asses, my own included, but I do my best to prioritize for the future and the life that I want. He's constantly telling me that he has some growing up to do, but like, come on, you're turning 36 this year. He has no savings, no car. And I just found out his license has been suspended for several years and he didn't tell me. He struggles with honesty, not in the cheating type of way, but he holds things back. And sometimes he'll say he's with his family when he's really with his friends, who he's in the business with. And he knows that I dislike. He admitted that he won't tell me things because he's trying to avoid a fight. And that justifies his partying as quote unquote work to make money, but I never see it. My family thinks I could do better. Of course they do. and have said that my standards are too low and that I'm too patient. I believe that you indeed can build a great life with your partner, even if at the moment you have nothing, as long as you both have a common goal. But after he withdrew money from my account without telling me, girl, if you don't, I got to take a sip of my iced coffee. He took money from my account without telling me. I found out from my banking app. I started to question things. I hate to feel like I'm shitting on my man because he's genuinely a kind person and he makes me feel beyond comfortable and my dog loves him so much, but he really doesn't want the life he says he does with me. Does he really want the life he says he does with me, or am I just convenient to have around? I do a lot for him by choice, of course, but I cater to this man. And I got that WAP. So, I mean, it makes sense. I'm the youngest of five sisters and all of my sisters' partners are successful and they have their shit together. I understand everyone's paths are different, but am I being too patient and hoping things will change? Is it stupid of me to stay when we are clearly polar opposites? I could go on and on because there is more, but you'd end up having to charge me for a therapy sesh. Any advice would be appreciated. Girl, you got to kick him to the curb. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay. First of all, this is how, and I say this all the time, this is how I know women are nice. Like, she said he struggles with honesty instead of he's a liar. Like it's, you're painting him in this way. And listen, I'm not denying that he is nice to you. I'm not denying that he's respectful, that he makes you feel like a princess or blah, blah, blah. I'm going to tell you something right now. A princess isn't getting robbed by her man, by the prince. It's just not happening. So I'm sure that he adores you and loves you and all of these things, but two things can exist at the same time. He could be a good person deep down in his heart, but he can also be a person that's not a match for you because he doesn't have his shit together. You have to know the difference. Like, it's really difficult because I've been there before where I have strong feelings and a strong connection for somebody that is just, I'm not compatible with them. Right. And you force it because you're like, well, I love him, or I really care about him, or he's so funny and he's so cute and he's so nice to me and blah, 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 blah. Those are all, you know, those are all great things, but he's still not my man at the end of the day. And I had said this to my friend recently. She was dating this guy who was just the fucking worst. Okay. And it was a constant conversation. It was a constant back and forth with him. And she was always struggling with her relationship with him. And I said to her, and I want the girlies really to listen in this scenario and every scenario. I said, if you close your eyes and imagine your life, right? You imagine you waking up in your life in 5 years, you open your eyes. What does your day look like? And does he fit into that? Because he didn't have a job. He wasn't working. He was always like, you know, like it was a lot. And she was like, you're right. She was like, he doesn't fit into what I want and what I see for myself and what I feel I'm working towards in my life and what I want to see my future to look like. You know, he doesn't fit into that. And listen, I've done it. We've all been there. You have a lot of hope for somebody, but sometimes you got to just wish them well. Because, you know, by moving through these things and kind of getting rid of, I don't want to say getting rid of, because it just seems so harsh, but by moving out of these relationships, you know, you're making space for what's really for you. This isn't for you. You know, you're going out with a guy that lies to you, takes your money, is out at the club and doesn't tell you about it, has no savings, no driver's license. Girl, I mean, I'm sure he's nice. If he wasn't nice, that would be crazy. Someone like that, you got to be nice. Okay. But I would, you know, try and find someone, you know, whenever you want to date again, or, you know, if things end with you guys and then you're ready to start dating again, find somebody that's on your level in these ways. 'Cause you're responsible. You have your shit together. You have goals. And that's also the thing too. like you mentioned it and you said it perfectly, like it's okay if we have nothing and if we're struggling and, you know, we're going to work towards, but what are we working towards? Because right now it seems like I'm working and I have an idea in my head and you're kind of just going with the flow. And sorry, girl, 36 is crazy. He's 36 years old. I mean, come on. At what age is he going to try and figure it out? 45, 50? You got to have at least some drive or a goal or something. Don't let him gaslight you too into being like, yeah, partying is my job. Partying is my job. Okay. Am I at the club at 3 a.m.? Yeah, but I'm working, babe. Girl, please. If he was just doing stand-up, totally valid. But he's at the club. Okay. It's not what you're looking for. And that's okay. You know, it also reminds me of like a friend that I have that was in a similar situation where she got out of a long breakup and she met this guy and it didn't, you know, turn into anything. But I remember saying to her, like, he was there to bring you to this new part in your life. You know, he was the buffer between, you know, your breakup and then you getting into dating again. He was a great guy for the time being. He served a purpose. He took you out on dates. You guys had fun. You hung out and whatever. But he wasn't your forever person, and that's okay. Like, certain people are meant to be, not everyone is meant to be with us for our entire lives. And thank God, you know? I feel really bad, but I just feel, you know, do the thing that I get that we do this all the time, but do the thing that I'm saying where like you just envision what you want your life to be like in X amount of years, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever. And live on that like energy level and stop wasting your time because scrub is the perfect way to describe this. You know, and what do they say? They say a scrub is a guy that he can't get no love from me. And yet here you are giving him the love. That's Bible. Okay. This one also says help with a lot of exclamation points. Something's going on in the universe. And I think Mercury is in retrograde. Okay. It says, hi, Carly, longtime listener, first time writer about something a little more serious. First of all, I want to say that I love your advice and the potty. Oh, thanks much. Today, for the first time, I'm reaching out looking for advice. My boyfriend and I met over a year ago, and we've been doing long distance for a while now. Everything is going well, despite some ups and downs, mostly related to being long distance. He's getting close to graduating from college and needing to find an internship and to pass his classes. Recently, he has expressed to me that he's having trouble feeling motivated, and I have done my best to try and help him. Helping him find internships on Indeed and LinkedIn, helping him with updating his resume and his cover letter, and even following up with him on suggesting that he can call the company to check on the status of his application, calling him a certain time of day to make sure he's awake, asking him about his homework, etc. I suggested that he call and he never did. He also only applied to the one internship that I helped him find. If he's really going through something or really struggling with motivation, I don't want to be insensitive, but I don't know how to go about it because all I want to do right now is grab him by the shoulders and shake him. I also want to tell him that his lack of motivation is really not cute and is actually beginning to scare me. The other piece of this is that he's first generation college student in his family and the first one to graduate even from high school in his family. That's the one part that I can't relate to and not a reason that I would ever write someone off in terms of potential. I do think that upbringing has an effect on his motivation, feeling worth for himself, etc. Have you or the Secret Keepers ever gone through something like this? Any advice would be helpful. Oh, you guys are cute. Oh my God, this dog. That is the cutest freaking dog I've ever seen. What? Why is the dog the same size as you? That's a horse. Okay. This is difficult. Maybe you're right. Maybe it has some type of, you know, it's a reflection of how he views himself and his, you know, self-worth. but I would just have a conversation with him and be as upfront and honest with him as possible. I understand like that we have to be sensitive when people are going through stuff, whether they're feeling unmotivated, whether they're feeling anxious or anything like that. But by not discussing these things, and there's a healthy way that you can have these conversations that aren't going to trigger someone or make them feel worse. And it's important because otherwise, who's feeling more anxious now? You. You have to talk to him about it. This is, again, something that it's like, they never be ashamed for expressing how you feel, and don't be ashamed for like wanting to think about your future. You know, I would say to him, like, I would, you know, bring it up. It doesn't need to be a fight. I think we want to avoid confrontation so much, but not everything needs to be a confrontation. It's a conversation that two people in a relationship are having. And I would just say, listen, you've worked so hard to get where you are. Why are you throwing it away? You know, like, you should be so proud of yourself for how far you've come. You're making these changes and you're the first person in your family to get to this level. Like, keep going. You're obviously have a lot of potential. You know, you're seeing that these things are possible for you. Like, you're in your own way and you're kind of like, I get where he's coming from too, because it is like a scary thing to kind of just like leap and not know where you're going to land, but the stakes are still low. He's going into like an entry level internship position. Like, go learn. If you hate it, it's not the end of the world. It's not like you're like fumbling $1 million bag. It's like, yeah, try it out, do it for the summer, see, get a lot of experience, make connections, and keep it moving. You know, this isn't a lifetime job. This is your first job out of school. And you should say, like, you know, I don't know exactly if this is, you know, because you didn't mention much about yourself, of course, but I would say something like, you know, it's important to me, and I make sure that I have motivation, even if it's hard sometimes, and like, we can work through this together. But this is also another situation where it's just, if someone's not going to do it, you can't do it for them. And I would take a step back even from the work that you've been putting in and finding him these different places that he can apply to and telling him to call and calling him to wake him up in the morning. Like, no, because that makes them, I've been with a guy like this before where I would have to like, make sure that he was up and going to work and up at a certain time. And it was like dragging. And I'm like, I'm not your mom. You know, like, why am I waking you up? You're a grown man. Like, what the hell? I remember with that guy in particular, I had been out. I'm trying to think. I wasn't at his house. I was at my apartment. I had the key to his house at the time, and he had to be up at a certain time to go to work. And I'm like calling him. He wasn't up. And I'm like, oh my God. But he was like on the very last, like his very last, like skating on thin ice at this job, because he was never fucking on time. And I went there and I woke him up and I was like, I can't do this. Like, this isn't my job. This isn't my life. Like, you have to figure it out. Get a loud alarm clock and put it on the other side of the damn room. Okay. And he was like, I didn't tell you to come over here and wake me up. I'm like, you kind of did. So it's just like, you can't win. They kind of start to like look at you as like a maternal thing. And then it just gets fucking weird. You know? So I think you could just say how you feel to him, be as honest as possible, and, you know, and do less. Cause this isn't your, you know, not my circus, not my monkeys kind of thing. Okay, you guys, we got a new sponsor for this episode today. Shout out to Robody. Weight loss can be really difficult, especially as you get older and your metabolism decides that it doesn't want to work anymore. There is no shame in doing what you got to do to drop those pounds, and the Robody program is here to help. Ro provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market and pairs with a healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% off your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Ro handles all of the insurance paperwork and they help you get your medication covered. If you're eligible, you'll have access to your provider on demand so you can ask any questions and have someone by your side every step of the way. Sign up online from home and get snatched in time for summer. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes, BMI, and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/secret. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That is ro.co/secret. Okay. This one says... My boyfriend's dog doesn't like my daughter. Hi, Carly and the baby boys. Hi. I need your help. My boyfriend wants my daughter, in parentheses, 5 years old, and I to move in with him. The only thing is that his dog, a Belgian Malinois, has an issue with my daughter. Oh my God. She's bitten her, nothing crazy, but a couple of times. I know my daughter can be a lot at times. She's constantly running around like most five-year-olds. And I think it rattles the dog up. Also, my daughter's dad has asked me to keep her away from the dog, which is completely understandable. And I agree completely. But how do I tell my boyfriend? I would never ask him to choose between us or the dog. Also, I don't think it's fair to have him keep the dog in a kennel when my daughter's around. His dog is 2 years old, so maybe she'll calm down once she's a little bit older. Please help. I don't know what to do, and I don't know how to say we can't move in because of your dog. Thanks tons, and thanks for providing us with your wise words. Kiss your right on lips. Oh, thanks so much. So I think you have to be honest with him with this, and I think you're 100% making the right choice because at the end of the day, you have to protect your daughter, and who knows, you know, I know that it like wasn't a big deal and just like a nip a couple of times, but you don't, you know, if you guys were to move in, even if you took the most care, if there's something there, it can happen. And it happens in a split second and you kick yourself in your ass for the rest of your life because of it. You know what I mean? Like, it's the best way that you can protect her. And I agree with you too. It's not fair to the dog if the dog has to be locked in a kennel or in the cage when your daughter's around. Cause if you guys are moving in, she's going to be around all the time. So I think that you have to be 100% honest. Just say, it makes me really nervous to have her around the dog. You know, obviously there's been these instances in the past and I can't risk it. And my job, my number one job in the world is to protect her, and suggest training. You know, suggest going to a professional trainer and seeing if maybe, you know, you can, one of my friends had sent her dog to this like training camp for like weeks, you know, a few weeks, and then got the dog back, or had a private trainer come and teach you different ways and different commands and things like that. There are ways to train them. It definitely takes a lot of time. Because even if you like send the dog to a really fancy training thing, it's like you have to continue with the programs that they're running, because otherwise the dog's going to go back to its old ways. So it is a lot, but it's a part of having an animal. And I think that it's something that would be worth looking into. Maybe that's the answer. You know, if the dog can get a great trainer and, you know, they can get along, then there you go. There you have it. But that's what I would suggest. And I think you can just say like, I don't want you to, you know, lock the dog up or give the dog away or anything like that because of us, but I just do have to, you know, protect her. And that's, you know, it's something that nobody could ever, you know, argue with. You're being a good mom. So don't beat yourself up over it. You got to be honest. I get it. And he's going to know, he's going to completely understand when you tell him. I think training might be, you know, really helpful. Let's see. I got a lot of emails about Twitch, and a bunch of you were saying I should join Twitch, and I'm going to look into it. Okay. This says, SOS, please help a sister out. Hi, Carly and the sweet baby kitty cats. I've sent an email similar to this in the past and even bumped it up a couple of times. So I'm praying that this one finally goes through and makes it on the potty. Oh, well, thank you so much. And thanks for bumping it up. For some background information, I've been a fan since the Girl Code days. Oh, thank you. I'm a day one listener. I had a baby girl in August. Cute. She's 8 months now, and I'm loving every minute of being a mom. Now onto the substance. My fiance is currently on a golf trip with his buddies, and I'm 500 miles away taking care of the baby and the house while he's away. I was absolutely fine with him going, and his friend's wife came to stay with me for the couple days so that we both wouldn't be alone and she can help me out with the baby. Oh, that was really nice. My one rule since we met, because besides no cheating, obviously, has been no strip clubs. I wish I was one of the girlies who's okay with it as long as they're not paying for private dances, etc., but I'm just not. I can't pretend to be okay with it when I feel so passionately that it's wrong. When I was pregnant with our daughter, he went away on a bachelor party for his best friend, and they went to a strip club. He had lied about going, but I found out that they did, and I was more upset that he lied about it than the fact that he went in the first place, but that definitely played into it some. I could stomach him going once in a blue moon for an occasion like that, but I'm 100% not okay with it being a regular thing. It just gives me the ick and places him in a category in my mind of men that gawk at women and pay to see them naked. Like, how old are we? Pregnancy was when I was feeling my lowest because my body was really changing and I was gaining so much weight and I couldn't do anything to control it. Something about him going out of his way to look at the man standard of a physically perfect woman had me in shreds. Fast forward to this golf trip that he's currently on. He told me that they went two different nights. Ugh. For a little more background, his best friend loves going and tries to make it a regular thing. We talked about it, about how his friend was going to want to go while they were on the trip, and I reiterated the fact that I'm not okay with it. He tried to make light of it by saying that he's mean to the strippers and never spends a penny. Oh, they must love him in there. But not him being mean to the strippers. They really will just say the craziest shit sometimes. I'm going to get back to that in a second, but I'm going to finish the email. And that's not the point to me. I simply don't want him going at all. While I'm glad that he didn't lie to me about going this time, it still doesn't fix the fact that he's not respecting my boundaries or my wishes. He actively makes these decisions to tag along, knowing that it's going to upset me. Something about men being able to freely access the closest thing to cheating so that's socially acceptable whenever they want, while their women sit at home and wait for them, is simply a concept I don't think I'll ever be okay with. I guarantee if the roles were reversed, and it was just easy for women to go to dick clubs. Actually, that would be fun. And I would go. I'm just kidding. While our men sit at home, they would not be okay with it. Maybe I just simply hate the way society has made this such a common practice. And I'm the crazy one for having a problem with it. If he truly loved and respected me like he claims he does, why does he put his friends above me? It feels like I'll never be that number one person in his life, and we're getting married next year. I don't know what else to do to get through to him. Am I wrong? Am I crazy? What should I do? Ugh, I'm so sorry that this is happening to you. And I think that it just puts into perspective, like, it's so sad to view it this way, but it's such a major part of womanhood. It's like we have to look a certain way and act a certain way in order to, you know, for people to see us in this light, or for a man to want to marry us or date us or have kids with us or whatever. And then we get to a certain level of a relationship and we're just like feeling like fucking shit. Because then they're not talking to, but going and seeing other women, or they're going to strip clubs, or it's just like, it's a never ending thing of us constantly feeling like we're inadequate, right? It's unfortunately a major part of being a woman. It fucking sucks. Okay. And I get it. And I've been there before. I know that's like a very, you know, I'm oversimplifying it. I don't really know how to explain it, but that's just how I feel. It just sucks. And I think every woman has been in a scenario like this. Like, just reading that you said, like, you were pregnant, your body was changing, you had all of these things that are happening to you for the first time, they're overwhelming, and he lies to you about going to a strip club. Girl, you would see me on the news. You would see me on the news. I'm sorry. So I totally get where you're coming from. And I don't think that, you know, I don't think that what you're saying is invalid or crazy in any way. I think we've had scenarios similar to this on the podcast before, where it's like, this is a boundary, no matter what it is, whether it's a strip club, whether it's anything, right? You have a boundary that you set with him when you guys first started dating. His job is to honor those boundaries, right? No matter what they are. So there's no, like, there's nothing that you've done wrong because you addressed this in the beginning of your relationship. And I get what, like, at that point, he is being disrespectful. He is. Girl, him saying, well, I mean to the strippers. Girl, please. I'm so sorry. I never read anything like that before in my life. I'm mean to the strippers. Imagine he walks in the strip club, just gives a finger. Fuck you. Come on. I would just, I mean, I get what you're saying, where it's like once in a blue moon, if they're on a bachelor trip or whatever, oh, you're going to a strip club, whatever. I'm not crazy about it, but it is what it is. But going two nights in a row and going and lying about it, it's a lot. It is a lot. And I would just say, it makes me feel uncomfortable, and it makes me feel like my boundaries that I've set clearly from the very beginning of our relationship are just not being met at all. And it's not fair to me. Because I would never do that to you. It, no matter what it is, if there was a place that, if there was any boundary that you set, I respect you as my partner and I would honor that boundary, period. You know, it's really just, it is that simple. And it's not fair for you to be made to feel like you're in the wrong or you're crazy or you should be accepting of this. No, some people are okay with it and some people aren't. And if you're not, you have to be open and honest about it in the beginning, and you have to move from there. And it's like, if you have that conversation in the beginning and you both agree that this is, you know, this is the line, he can't just keep crossing it and going like, oh, well, you know that saying, I'd rather beg for forgiveness than no, I'd rather cry. I'd rather beg for forgiveness than beg for permission. It's kind of like that. It's like, they're like, I'll deal with it. I'll deal with the ramifications after I get back from my trip with my boys. So it's like, you feel like you're screwed. I would just say my needs aren't being met, period. That's what that, cause that's what it is. You have these boundaries, you have these things, they're not being met. And it is, and they love, you want to know what they also love doing? They love blaming it on a friend. Oh boy, do they love blaming it on their friend. Sometimes I wonder if their friend even knows that they're blaming stuff on them. Cause I've dated guys that were like, it's my friend's a fucking piece of shit. I'm like, really? He seems nice. Meanwhile, that guy was probably telling his girlfriend that this guy's a piece of shit. You know, they'll just like throw their boys under the bus. Okay. Let's do did we do this one last time? Diet Coke, Caesar salad, French fries. This fuck, marry, kill. Diet Coke, Caesar salad, French fries. I don't know. And I'm wondering if I did do it last week, if I'll say the same shit. Because I'm marrying, oh boy, I feel we did do that one. Because what did I mean, if I did do that, I don't know what I would say that I married. I'm marrying French fries. I'm going to fuck a, goddamn. I'm going to fuck the Caesar salad and I'm going to kill the Diet Coke. Is that what I would have said last week? I don't know. I'm a different person every day, you guys. I'm constantly changing, learning, growing. That was the FMK that I had saved. So anywho, you guys, you can send in questions to secretkeepersclub@gmail.com. If I didn't get to your email this week, you can go ahead and bump it up. I hope everyone has a wonderful day and we'll see you soon. Bye.